1 Corinthians chapter 4, as we continue our study in the book of 1 Corinthians. The title of the message today is Arrogant or Authentic? Now, as we look at the message today, I want to challenge you. This is not a message where I'm pointing fingers and saying, oh, you're arrogant. No, you've got to figure this out for yourself, okay? You've got to apply this for yourself. And as I prepared, I'll be honest, as I prepared this message, there were a few times in here I just had to back up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Because there was a little bit of arrogance, and I'm putting it mildly when I say little bit, a little bit of arrogance that I saw in myself. So let's stand. Let's read from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. Now what Paul is talking about there is what we studied last week. The first part of this chapter where Paul said, let a man consider us as stewards or servants and stewards. And you can go back and you can read about that, or you can listen via the website from last week's message. But just so you understand what he's saying at the first of this chapter, he's applying the first five verses where he said, let a man consider us as servants and stewards. And now he says, I've transferred this to myself so that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already full. You're already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish that you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men, for we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands. Being reviled we bless, being persecuted we endure, being defamed we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Worthen, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to come and just sing praises to you today, God. We ask your blessings upon the church. When this loss, our people that need to join us today, let them do what you put their hearts in, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Now, as I said, I ask you to do this one thing for me. Open your mind. Open your heart. Are you open? Okay. Are you open to the possibility that you just may have a little arrogance about you? Okay. All right, let's get started. Arrogant or authentic? And we start out with that attitude of arrogance. Paul, in addressing the church at Corinth, he started with, you have received. Actually, he approached him and he said, what do you have that you did not receive? What is it that you have done for yourselves to the credit of no one else that it's all on you? What he's saying is, of course, everything you know, you receive from somebody else. You see, they felt that they had arrived on their spiritual journey. Like they had all the answers. Like they were, they no longer had need of Paul, Apollos, or anybody else, that they just knew it all. and they were a long way from knowing it all. And as Paul looked at them, he says, guys, don't you understand what you have been given? That you're not a self-made individual. Have you ever walked into a church and just thought, these folks have just a little air about them? Have you ever felt that in a church? Oh, come on. You know you have. We all have. I pray that that air is not here at Victory Baptist Church. All right? And I don't believe that it is. But if you're not careful, you'll get this mentality through study and learning of the Word of God. You just back up and you say, yeah, I've got it. And then you start to kind of look down on people. Because they don't have what you have. They're not, you know, they're not as Bible literate as you are. They don't know the stories of Abraham and Noah and David. And, you know, they're just kind of uninformed, and so you just kind of look down your nose at them. That's kind of where the Corinthian church was. Paul says, look, first of all, you need to understand what you received because somebody else sacrificed to give it to you. First of all, they were saved 100% by grace through faith. Amen? What you have in Jesus Christ, you did not earn or deserve. It was a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You have been taught through the years by people who sacrificed their time and their effort to give you a knowledge of the Bible. Can you look back on that special individual that taught you back in Sunday school when you were just a little bit hard-headed because you were a young teenager, yet they still dealt with you and worked to get you the Word of God? You remember that person? You see, you're like the Corinthians in that you have had people invest in you. And you are where you are because of what others have done for you. The second thing Paul said, look, don't act like you didn't receive it. Number two, he said, you're full. You're full. Meaning, of course, to have enough. In our language, they had all they wanted spiritually. Now, I want you to think about that statement. Do you have all you want spiritually? Do you know all that you want to know? You know? A great tragedy in life today is people have all of God they want. Okay? There's no desire to learn. There's not a hunger. There's not a desire to grow spiritually. And if I were to ask you today, do you want more of God? Probably everybody in here would say, oh yes, I want more of God. But my next question would be, what are you doing to get more of God? For you see, those things that we truly want, do we not pursue? Those things, the answers that we truly want to find, do we not dig? Or do we back up? I've got enough. I'm full. You see where that arrogance kind of slips in there? Paul said, you have, what have you, do you have that you have not received? Paul said, you're full. You don't want any more. Paul said, you are rich. See, Corinth was a very prosperous town. And the thing about riches, if you're not real careful, you can get to that point where you're not depending on anyone, including God. The folks at Corinth had all they needed, physically and spiritually. There was not a dependence. They didn't need Paul. They didn't need Apollos. They didn't need Peter. They didn't need the other apostles. They were just sitting good. High-minded and happy. Paul even brought them down to the point where it said, he said, guys, you have reigned like a king. It's kind of like they were the boss. Kind of like Burger King. Have it your way. Type mentality. Let me ask you. Do you ever get that mentality where you think that the church owes you? Have you ever had that mentality? It bothers me today that we become so seeker sensitive that people have the concept that the church is here 100% to serve me. That is a lie. The church is here so that you can serve the Lord. All right? That's what church is about. And I know there are a lot of catchy slogans, our hearts and minds are open, and you know, a lot of things. But the bottom line is this, you're not the king. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're here to be the hands and feet of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So never approach God, never approach church like, okay, I'm here, now y'all do for me. Because if that's your attitude, you're not going to last very long. I promise you this, you'll get involved in church and somebody will upset you and you'll be gone. Why? Because there are people here. And in every other church in Russellville and in the state and in the country. Here's what I want you to get. Never back up and say, here I am, bless me. Here I am. It's the preacher, the deacons, the teacher's job to entertain me. I want a certain music. I don't like this. I don't like that. No. Because where the height of arrogance begins is when we think it's about us. You know? It's not about you and me. As a matter of fact, the real joy is when we come to grips with the concept that we are here for Jesus Christ. And we're here not to please people, but we're here to please our wonderful and blessed Savior. And of course, you know, Paul goes through this. You're rich. You've reigned as kings. You're full. And you don't want any more. And I wondered what their reaction was. Nah, Paul. You don't get it. Nah, we're really not like that, Paul. Paul knew what they were. As I preach this message, I want you to understand, I began with the challenge to open your mind and your heart that, hey, you just might have a little arrogance about you. And you know, as I prepared this message, as I said, I found that I had a little arrogance about me. And the thing about arrogance is, it's all phony. It's all phony. Don't you want something that's real? Something that is authentic? I'm sorry, I forgot to go through the slides. Something that's authentic. Paul goes through this list of this attitude that was at the church at Corinth. And then he says, hey, I want to tell you what's authentic. And we start with realizing that there are no stars of stewardship. Paul opened in this chapter with the comment, we are stewards, we are servants and stewards of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize there is nothing glamorous about being a Christian or serving as a Christian? There are a lot of people. Paul went down a list, says, you're wise, you're strong, we're weak, you're distinguished, we're disrespected. But the bottom line was Paul is trying to make them see, look, what you are, that's not the real deal of who you are. And then he goes on. And he says, the reality is if you're going to be a steward, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. And what's really neat is in verse 9. In verse 9, Paul says, look, this is the way it really is. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. That word spectacle, the Greek word is theatron. It's where we get our English word, what? Theater. Right? And the Romans were very big in entertainment, much like we are today. They would fill the amphitheaters with people. Crowds would flock to see men compete in the games of the arena. Kind of reminds me of the way we are at a football game today, you know? We'll send 75,000 people into an arena to watch 22 guys beat up on one another. And we like football, don't we? Yes, we do. Well, that was the way the Romans were. And so the people would fill the amphitheater to see the great games. And at the end of the games, when the main events were finished, they would bring out the poorest and the weakest of the prisoners, set them in the middle of the arena, turn the lions loose. And it was their job to fight the beast. Everybody knew, you know, there's not going to be much of a match here. That poor old weakling is going to be consumed and killed by the lion. You see, that was the last thing they did on the program. And when Paul says, look, here's what we are. You say you want to follow Paul. You want to follow Apollos. You want to follow a Peter. This is what we are. We're the last guys on the program. We are the bottom of the list. We are the weakest of the weak. We are the poorest of the poor. And we are marched out there for all the world to see like the spectacle of the theater. Nobody expects much. And we're there to be consumed by the evils of this world. You want to follow us? That's what we are about. We're not about being rich. We're not about being full. We're not about being stars. He's saying that's what servants and stewards look like. It's a life of sacrifice. Now I want to back up. And I want us to ask ourselves today, are we really the servant steward that Paul talked about in the first of this chapter? Or do we come to church in our suits and our ties and our Sunday best? And don't get me wrong, I wear suit and tie. If you wear blue jeans, that's fine. As you know, but we come to church and we have this air about us, and we spend our time in our Sunday school classes, and we spend our time in worship and say, okay, I filled in the blank. I've been a good little Christian. No, there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. You see, as Paul went down that list of saying everything that they were, you know, about being strong and wise and distinguished, he also followed up with his list of what he was. The reality of being a servant steward. Paul says, you're smart, but we are fools. We're looked on by the world as being crazy. You see, Paul had given up everything. He was the fair-haired boy of the Jewish religion of his day. He was the guy that they were going to elevate to the top. And then he had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ, and he threw it all away to preach the gospel. And I know every Jew on the planet of that day who knew Paul would have backed up and said, you are a fool. No longer was he respected by everyone. No longer was he held up as the up-and-coming star of religion. He was that heretic that preached about that Jesus. Paul said, we're fools. Paul said, we're weak. everywhere Paul went. And I love his story about the thorn in the flesh. You know, you remember Paul said he had a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And he prayed three times, Lord, remove this thorn in the flesh. Remove this problem from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. I want to, have you ever just prayed, Lord, get me out of this? Lord, I don't want to go through this. Lord, help me. Have you ever heard the words, my grace is sufficient for you? Have you? I want to tell you, that's life changing. Because when you hear those words, then you quit praying, Lord, get me out of this. And you start praying, Lord, be strong through my weakness. I love what God told the Apostle Paul. In your weakness, my strength is made perfect. And as the world would look at Paul and they'd say, oh, he's a nobody, he's a weakling. Paul knew there was a strength in God that even Satan himself could not stop. Paul said, we're dishonored. We're not respected. Paul said, we hunger and thirst. You realize, you know, Paul did not have and he did not care what he did not have. You know, he didn't care about those things. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He had to work with his own hands. He said, we're poorly clothed. He didn't have a JCPenney suit or an Armani suit or whatever, you know. He didn't have the nicest of clothes. People would have looked at him and said, yeah, I don't want to be around you. Why in the world would somebody go this route? Paul said, we're beaten, we're homeless. And he goes on, being reviled, we what? Remember what I said? We bless. Being reviled, we bless. When people insult us, instead of throwing insults back, Paul said, we bless them. You ever try that? You have somebody, I hate you. And you look him in the eyes, I love you. Well, you're a lunatic. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's Paul's mentality. Why? Because I'll tell you what, you'll never win anyone by insulting them. Okay? You never will. Being reviled, he said, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. It gets tough as a child of God. You know what? Have you ever back said it's not worth it? Do you realize that's arrogance? I'm not going through that. No, that's arrogance. For the authentic child of God, you realize there is no price too big. No difficulty too hard to go through. For the glory of God. You see the big contrast there? Being persecuted, we endure. Paul says, I'm not quitting. Being defamed or slandered or lied about, we entreat, we encourage. People talk bad about me, but I encourage them, Paul says. See, this is the authenticity of who we are as children of God. Paul even said, we've been made the filth of the world. The dirt, the rubbish. And do you know why? Because Paul said, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to serve his Savior. Now I want to back up for just a moment. What is your attitude? You know, you can be arrogant and not be that person that stands out and looks down on everybody and everybody knows you're arrogant. You can be arrogant and not present that mentality. You can be arrogant enough to think that God's here for me, for my wants and my desires. And I want to tell you, it's not about you. You can be arrogant as you have those attitudes of, I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to go through that. Do you realize that's arrogance talking? Paul says, whatever it takes. Let me ask you, at this point of the message, are you arrogant or are you authentic? I want to ask you one other question. There's another arrogance. An arrogance of lost people. People who have looked at Christians, and I'll be the first to admit, sometimes we do not set the best example. But you look at other Christians and you say, well, if they're good enough to go to heaven, I'm good enough to go to heaven. Well, I want to tell you, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. Because they're not good enough to go to heaven. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you, that means me. There's none of us that can set up and take pride and say, look at me, I'm going to heaven because of what I did. Listen, I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did for me. Not what I did. There's an arrogance among lost people that says the church is filled with hypocrites. So I don't do church. I don't want to be one of those hypocrites. And that arrogance says, I'll be okay because everybody else is wrong. No, you won't be okay. Once again, the Bible says, in the most loving way, that God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. His name was Jesus. That whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Listen. God loved you so much. Do not back up and take this arrogant attitude and point at others and say, I'm not going to receive Jesus because of them. I'm not going to receive Jesus because of that preacher. I'm not going to receive Jesus because of those deacons or the choir members or music. You can, whatever. No, that's arrogance. God gave His Son for you. Have you accepted the free gift of salvation? Maybe you're here today and you've not. I want to invite you to come during this invitation. Maybe you're here today and you have been that Christian. You've been on the borderline of, boy, you know, it's been tough lately. Putting up with a lot here, Lord. Times are hard. I'm being persecuted for my faith. The folks at school are making fun of me. Lord, I just don't know if it's worth it or not. Don't back up and be arrogant. Back up and be weak. So that God can be strong through you. Get on your knees and say, God, give me the strength. And I want to tell you what. I want to tell you what I found. The weaker I become, the stronger my God grows in me. The more I realize I can't, the more I see how my God can. Don't quit. God's not gone, and He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Don't quit. Maybe you're here today and you have a completely different issue that's not even been touched in the message. Here's the thing. Right now it's between you and God. Don't be arrogant and depend and pretend it's not there. Don't be arrogant and walk out the same way you walked in. During this invitation, it's time to do business with the God that's dealing with you. Will you come? Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, that sometimes we're reminded that boy, there are sacrifices that we have to make. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we do feel weak. But we rejoice in knowing that your grace is sufficient. And I pray now as we come to this invitation that you'll remove all arrogance from our hearts. That we'll listen to you. That we'll respond to you and to your leading. Lord, we know we're nothing without you, but we know we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. And we glory in your strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.